Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon, a conversation about all the good things in the bluegrass with your host, Mike Warner.
Welcome to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. I'm your host, Mike Warner, co-owner with Warner Builders with my son, Chris Warner, and principal broker at Warner Realty, and partners with Dwayne Kohler at Kohler Warner Construction. I know that's a mouthful, but we're a one-stop shop. If you're looking to buy, sell, build, remodel, residential, or commercial, give us a call. So that's the introduction. We've got our great guest on here today, and I've got a lot of questions. And Tom Miller from Building Institute, right?
That's right.
You're the vice president of Building Institute.
That's correct, yeah.
So what does that involve?
So the Building Industry Association of Central Kentucky, mm-hmm. used to be the Home Builders Association. Mm-hmm. It's been around since 1952. Mm-hmm. And back in 2013, we were asking the members of the association, what's your biggest hang up? What do you need? And it's skilled labor. Mm-hmm. So later that year, we founded the Building Institute of Central Kentucky. And we've had that school since 2014. And we offer three trades, mm-hmm. HVAC, plumbing, and electrical. And it's the fastest way in Kentucky to get your journeyman license in those three trades is to go through that program.
Wow. Great.
Yeah.
That's cool. So just real quick, I read a little bit. Chris sent me not a bio, but link, and I saw where Home Builders Association started in 1952. So my dad joined in 1958, mm-hmm. and he used to tell me that he joined the same year as Don Ball, but Don Ball was not in the picture. There's actually a picture, black and white, Harold Leader picture showing my dad shaking hands with somebody joining in 1958. So I'm curious if because Don Ball Holmes would be the only other one besides us that would go back to 1958. I'm curious if we're the oldest continuous member of what is now BIA as a home builder, but I don't know that. It's got to be either us or Ball Homes. I just don't know which one. They may have both joined in 58, but I don't know.
You know what? I'm not sure the exact date, but there's also Lawrence Kendrick. His dad, uh-huh. F.D. Kendrick,
yeah,
I believe started when they founded the thing in 52.
Really?
He passed away just a couple years ago, but yeah. Lawrence is still out there, and his brother, they're still out there doing remodels.
Well, we're not as special as I thought we were, Chris.
Well, I tell you what, though, you guys just have that legacy. And I remember when we did the Hall of Fame mm-hmm. induction for your dad.
Yeah.
And that was really special.
That was really special.
I had your whole family there. We did it at with the Embassy Suites.
Yeah.
Was that 2013 or so?
Yeah.
14?
I think it was 2014. That was a really special night for everybody. Yeah.
That was special. Yeah. That was a really special night. So, and we really appreciate y'all doing that for him. It's very cool. But that was just some nostalgia I just kind of wanted to throw in there. But because we now, you know, and my grandfather, we've talked about this on the show before, Tom. My grandfather, my dad's dad, was a builder but didn't have a company. He started building probably in the 40s, late 40s, Shady Lane, Jesslyn, those areas over there by Central Baptist Hospital, and he just didn't have a company. People would just call him up and he would go, you know, build their house, and that's how my dad got his start. So and now me and now Chris and Tommy and his older brother, Blake, is going to come back and join us that first of the year. He's moving from the UK hospital. I can tell everybody that now because he's given notice. But we're excited about it. It's just going to be a family business again.
It's awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
So. I know the work that you all do, and it's unique and special and over the top, and it's great. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. It means a lot. So, well, so that's interesting that the fastest way to a journeyman's license is through the Building Institute. I did not know that. So to become an electrician, what would be the course? Sorry to say journey, but becoming journeyman. But what is the process? How would one do that?
There's a few ways. If you were to go do it on your own, you go get a job as an apprentice with an electrical company. You're working under a master licensed electrician mm-hmm. for 6 years. And then you can get your license. There are some other great schools out in the community and around that can do that for you in 4 years. Our program is approved by the state of Kentucky Housing, Building, Construction. to do it in 2 years. How it works, the students, they all work during the day in the trade as an apprentice.
Yeah.
So they get their on-the-job training, hours, the state needs, and our classroom hours count as work hours as well. So it's a two-year program. They get out of the thing, and no student loan debt. They have a career. They have a license. And then 4 years after that, if they want to start their own company, they get their master's license. Mm-hmm. And that's for electricians. For plumbers and HVACs techs, it's shorter.
Yeah. So that's really amazing. And when you say no student loan debt, that hits a chord too, because, I mean, so many schools, you would get out and you'd work a long time to just pay back all that student loan. Is it free?
It's not free. It's just very affordable.
Okay.
As we're doing this show, our tuition for our HVAC and plumbing programs, it's $8,000. Mm-hmm. For the electrical programs, $12,000. Mm-hmm. That includes everything, even all the copper and the conduit and all the switches, the wires, whatever they use in the labs, because mm-hmm. all the trades have labs there. It's all included in that. You know, and as we sit here in Lexington, down this road's Transy. Mm-hmm. UK's down the road. Center College, Georgetown College, all these mm-hmm. really awesome colleges are close. And in fact, I went to the University of Kentucky myself and had the student loan issue debt mm-hmm. as well for yeah. quite a while, but that's gone now. But it's just a path to a rewarding career that's not really talked about as much in the high schools as I think it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to change that narrative.
Yeah.
So I'm in the high schools, mainly the surrounding counties. Those are very receptive of what we do and have some outstanding young people that jump into the trades.
That's great. Yeah. So when I was in high school, junior high, which is now middle school and high school, we had shop classes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think I recently read where they're bringing that back, but I think there was a period where that kind of dropped off the curriculum too in the middle schools and high schools. Maybe did. I don't know. Do you know?
It did. And that's where they sent the band kids.
Yeah, I was there.
Well, okay.
I was in shop class.
Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah. No. But yeah. we enjoyed it. We made and I'm going way back. I mean, so I'm talking I was at Southern Junior High from 1967 to 1970, and during that time shop was a class that people wanted to go to. I mean, they had band saws and skill saws and
cool stuff.
Drills, yeah. press drill presses. I mean, we made a lot of really cool stuff that it was fun.
I wish I had it when I was in high school. We didn't have that available. So. Mm-hmm.
We had at Henry Clay in 2002. I was in a woodworking class. Our mm-hmm. teacher was Mr. Springwater,
mm-hmm.
and we would sit. There was like a classroom with a glass wall behind us with a shop with mm-hmm. saws and mm-hmm. different materials and things. And they would show us via projector or whatever, you know, how to build something or what we're yeah. going to build, or this is how you connect 2 2x4s for this mm-hmm. application. Mm-hmm. And then second half of the class, we'd go back and build it. And then we'd team up and do some things like that. But it was really it was like carpentry yeah. stuff. And you remember, Dad, we used to supply the school with 2x4s and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Oh, sure.
So they're always running low. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if anything, you come out of it knowing how to read a tape measure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And right. you can apply that anywhere, you know, as a homeowner. Mm-hmm. You'll need to do that at some point for mm-hmm. something.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, Tom, just for the listeners, tell us a little bit about you. Did you grow up here in Lexington?
Actually, don't shoot me. I grew up in Louisville.
Okay.
But, I grew up in Louisville. I went to Male High School and mm-hmm. Went to Georgetown College for a year and then came to the University of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Graduated with a degree in sociology.
Okay.
Which, you know, at the time, this you have to go to college if you want to do something in your life. Okay, so fine. Mainly just want to get out of the house, but that's another thing. But, pretty much stayed in Lexington. I had mm-hmm. a group of people that I knew and just enjoyed the bluegrass in Lexington and the community. So I've been here since 2000. And met my bride mm-hmm. in 2009, and we got married in 2015. And we have her folks are still around, and we just have an nice group of friends and
great
community here in town.
Did you have any background in construction before you?
In fact, I didn't. I was working at Wells Fargo Financial, and the recession hit, and a lot of those lending companies just ceased to exist one day. Mm-hmm. And then in 2010, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. So got a job with the Home Builders Association, and I've been there since then.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I remember that little thing called the housing crisis. Well, Lehman Brothers filed bankruptcy in October of 2008, and our phone stopped ringing. It just stopped ringing, like on a dime. It just stopped, and it didn't ring again for probably 3 years. And we were fortunate enough to have some work on the books and get through it. But boy, that was a painful time.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
it was difficult for a lot of people back then.
It was. I was in class at Bluegrass one day. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what class exactly I was in. My phone rang, and it was my dad. And I went outside in the hallway and answered it, because anybody else, I probably would have let it go.
Yeah.
And he said, "Hey, need you to come to the office." And I was like, "When?" And he was like, "Right now." And I was like, "Well, I'm at class." And he was like, "Well, you need to come right now." I was like, "Okay." And I walked in, and I've been doing my job since that day.
It's like you're hired.
Yeah, I went back and finished at Bluegrass. But yeah, that was kind of how I took my chair.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we were in a...
And that was right around that time, so I bring it up.
Well, it was. I mean, and it when things get tight, you know, you tighten your belt, and the first people that go are, you know, we're a family business, so family came first. And so, yeah, you were brilliant with numbers anyway, and I was paying someone else to do that, and I remember that too.
The timing was right.
Yeah, so. We need you. But you did go ahead and get your associate degree there. I'm proud of that, and that's cool. Yeah. So
I'd recommend it to anybody. You know, I went back to do real estate classes, but Bluegrass, it's very accessible. I did it because we're in construction, mm-hmm. and I didn't, kind of like, you know, how Tom said, mm-hmm. a little bit different, but I knew what I was going to do. I knew I was going to build with my dad. I mm-hmm. didn't need to go get an expensive degree to do that. I just needed to hone my skills and learn a little bit more about how things work on the inside and in the admin world of it. But Bluegrass is a great college for anybody. It's very affordable.
It is. And a lot, you know, like the Building Institute, the financial part of that, I mean, your 2 years is a fraction of the cost of UK, and yet all of your credits transfer if you decide to go ahead and get a four-year degree. That means it's a really good program. Yeah, so cool. So you came from the banking world into mm-hmm. this, Tom, and you got hired by, I guess, what was then the Home Builder Association, getting ready to change, but you got hired to do what exactly?
Sure.
To start this building institute?
Well, no. This would have been 2011, and they needed a person to handle their membership side of things, help grow the organization. Mm-hmm. Because the stronger and bigger the organization is, the better. So that's what I did for quite a while, and switched over to what I'm doing now. It was early last year, in fact. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the gentleman that started our trade school and got it to where it was and did an excellent job, and I'm just kind of continuing what he did.
Yeah.
And so,
now, who was that?
His name is Bruce Maybrier.
Okay.
Yeah. So he started an amazing program, and I'm just carrying that along.
Yeah. Do you all expect to expand from three trades to more trades, or are you going to stay with those three skilled trades?
Well, in fact, when we started the school, we had carpentry, and we also had facilities maintenance in addition.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Just based on our student population numbers in the class and who was interested in what, we just narrowed that down to the licensed trades of mm-hmm. HVAC, plumbing, electrical.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that one day we may not add. Mm-hmm. Get a lot of young people wanting that are interested in welding.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe one day we'll add that to the
Yeah, that welding school would be a great, great option for people to get into. Absolutely.
So we were talking about that a handful mm-hmm. of months ago. Yeah. Other than the couple guys we know, it's like, who else is welding in town?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and doing special stuff. We use Nate Hensley. He's been on the show.
We were talking about him before.
Yeah,
the show
And he has a degree in metal arts. Like, he has a degree in that, and I didn't even know that was available. But But the stuff that he does is blows my mind. I mean, he's so talented.
I'd imagine so. In fact, I mentioned UK earlier. He and I played music together.
Oh, yeah.
Around town, and we ran around, and he was doing that back then.
So. Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad to hear he's doing well.
He's doing great. I mean, he really is. We've had so many, you know, talented people on the show. One that we haven't had that, again, we have an opportunity because we are truly a custom builder. That's what my dad set out to do. He wanted to be a custom home builder. Mm-hmm. And so every home's different. And we get involved with a lot of different architects and a lot of interior design people, interior decorators. And we just recently, on a house we just completed, a woman just moved in, did a basket weave mantle, which the decorator had inspired somehow to have this happen. And of course, my first thing is fire hazard. And I convinced the lady it's basically a fake fireplace.
Okay.
It's a full fireplace, but it's got this beautiful, and I mean, it's massive. We built a wood structure, and she did an intricate basket weave around the entire thing. And that's hard, I know, for you to get your hands wrapped around, but what I'm getting at is she lives in Kenwick. And I said, well, it's an internet business. She sells all over the world. She learned basket weaving from her grandmother and lives in Lexington in Kenwick, named Emily Ridings. And she's got a fabulous business and does it all from her garage in Kenwick subdivision. And so there's people like that. And Nate, you know, I mean, and John Acuff, there's so many of these people out there that are just so good at what they do.
Yeah, artisans. That's really cool.
They're artists. Yes, it really is. So, Todd Johnson, how's Todd doing?
Todd is doing wonderful. He's a great guy to be around. It's probably getting ready to be duck hunting season soon, so we won't see him for a while.
Is he a big duck hunter?
He is, and goose hunting and all that.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Where do you go goose hunting? In Canada?
No, really? There are some spots, just ponds you'll find.
Is it legal? I guess it is.
Outside of Fayette County, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah. If you know somebody who has some land, may have a nice pond and area to go do that with. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I know Chris is on a committee. They're the remodelers. Is that right?
No, it's Chris? The executive board of
directors. Okay. Yeah, he's on our board of directors for the association. Yeah.
Cool. Well, so what does that entail, Chris? What do you all do when you meet?
Well, we get together as a board and we go over what the association's doing, the acting members of it, the staff, all that stuff. And a lot of it we can't really talk about outside of what's going on there. But we oversee the operation of the association, and they do a great job. We really essentially, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a lot of you guys are doing a great job.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. Thank you. I appreciate you serving as well. Have you served on that board
before? No, I haven't.
And it's a great group of individuals and a good networking group to have. And for me, I've got a ton of friends, and I've got friends that are builders that are my age that I grew up with and stuff. But it's nice to meet some of the other ones because there's only so many of us going through what we're going through.
Yeah, right. So. Well, I'm proud of you for doing it because, Tom said, I never did. My best friend in the world, Johnny Atchison, you know, he's been president a dozen times. You know, it's just he liked that participation. Of course, he was president of his fraternity at Center. I mean, that's his thing. And I'll come back and tell a story about that in just a second. But I just got a signal. It's time for a break. Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. If you're building in Lexington, residential, commercial, give me a call, 859-421-0800. I'd love to talk to you about it. Mike Warner, thanks.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon.
Welcome back. I'm Mike Warner, your host of Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. We are a local home building and residential and commercial contractor. If you're looking to build please give me a call, 859-421-0800. We left off the break, and my best friend in the world, Johnny Atchison, I got to tell this story. So this would have been sometime around 1990, maybe 92. He was his first term as elected president of the what was then the Home Builder Association. We back in that time, my dad had bought a building on Romney Road across from Wheeler's Pharmacy that also started in 1958. And he had bought a building, and in that, it was just a two-story brick. It was a fourplex that Dad converted into offices, and he was the original shared office suites guy. He didn't even know what he was doing, but we hired a secretary because people had secretaries back then. She sat at a desk and answered the phone and had buttons, and we had Warner Construction, Dad and I. We had Atchison Construction, and Johnny had, I think he had Avery upstairs as a drafts lady at the time with him. We had Bob Featherston of Hartston Construction was upstairs. We had Kendall Hart of Hart Construction was upstairs. And we had two real estate companies, and we all got along so well. We just all contributed each other, helped each other out. We were all young and didn't know really what we were doing, trying to figure it out. But Johnny got elected president, and he'll love me telling this story on him. He had he had maybe like a Ford Explorer or something, one of the early hatchback small SUVs, and it was raining, and he was running late for the induction ceremony, and he was carrying out something to his car to put in the car, and he ran into the hatchback with his head. He hit the hatchback dead on the corner with his head. His head exploded into blood, and I'm like, Johnny, come on, you're bleeding. I got to take you to the hospital. He wasn't going to die, but you know how you bleed so much from your skull, and blood was going everywhere. And I got him in his car, and I got in the driver's seat, and I got him in, closed the back hatch, took off to the hospital, and he said, Mike, I think I'm going to get sick. Can you pull over? And I said, no. I said, I'm getting you to a hospital. You puking the floor if you need to. And he with these real sad eyes looked at me and said, you wouldn't say that if this was your car. I think I pulled over, let him puke on the side of the road. But he got stitches and got to the ceremony. But he did. He was always that guy that loved being a part of it. And I'm so jealous of that experience that he's had, and proud of you, Chris, for that. But
no, thank you.
So what other, so you're on executive committee. What other committees? What you're on the board? What other committees are there?
There's a handful, and Tom could tell you. There's two or three more, mm-hmm. and I think I'm not. This mm-hmm. this is the only board that I'm on. Mm-hmm. So those boards kind of handle their own situations and their own specialties within the association, if you will.
Yes. So with the Building Industry Association, there's a membership committee that kind of vet the new folks coming in, and there's also government affairs too. Because, as you know, in the building industry world, there's a certain amount of interest in government affairs that goes on. So there's that committee. But just the main board overall is what you're on.
Yeah.
And you mentioned John Atchison, his son David's on that board too.
Yeah, Dave's on the board. Zach,
he's there. Lined to be the president. I'm not sure.
I think next year.
Next year, okay. Next year.
Who is David is?
Yeah, David is.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's pretty amazing. So is there a remodelers council?
Well, there used to be formal remodelers council. Now it's a group that meets monthly for a lunch and learn at a different member's place of business. But it's a lot of networking, a lot of idea sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of, I get an email like once a month from the BIA where you're doing mix and mingles type things, which – I don't know how new that is, but I don't remember that 20 years ago. but a lot of local companies, I guess, sponsor those and have you in their show. I think it's at 46 Solutions this coming, maybe tomorrow or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's actually next week. But the association has had a lot of networking over the years, but COVID hit.
Yeah.
And then once we got back together, I think it was March of 2021. We did an after-hours networking event at Mirror Twin.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was really getting back together, but we did this thing, and we had over 150 members show up. And since then, it's been consistently like that. There's always a great crowd, and people want to be a part of it because they know they can go there and meet like-minded people and share ideas and network, share business. And I always see business cards moving around.
Good.
Every time.
So an associate member would be a vendor. Right,
an electrician, a plumber, a showroom, pretty much anybody that's not pulling a permit to build a house or remodel one.
Gotcha.
Correct.
Gotcha. Yeah. Is BIA, like we consider ourselves, and on y'all's website it says it too, we consider ourselves both residential and commercial. Your website says the same thing. Are there many commercial contractors other than us that are members of the BIA?
Yeah, there's several. Anderson and Rogers. Okay. They do some.
Brent's with us on the board too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For multifamily apartments, or they did a lot of work out at the Summit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's several other members who do commercial work.
Yeah. We've really enjoyed the having our hands in both of them. It kind of came about by accident. Again, my dad and I had never done any commercial construction, but we were developing Eagle Creek Office Park at the corner of Man of War and Richmond Road. And just out of necessity, because we weren't selling any lots, we decided to go out there and build an office building and see if we could rent it out. And I mean, we ended up building eight. I mean, we could, it just people, it was a small environment again where we didn't try and build, you know, high rise, but we got into it, and then that kind of led into Dwayne Kohler came to us. He had worked, he has an engineering degree from UK. He had worked for Webb. He actually did Festival Market over here next door. He did Lexington Green for them. He did Palomar, and then he was hired by Gray Construction and did a lot of their industrial projects. And then he was hired by Buddy Calgill to go build office Studio Plus Hotels, and when that went public, he went stayed with Buddy, and they did Office Suites Plus. And but he was traveling all the time, and he had a young daughter at the time, and he came to me one day and said, you know, I'd like to work with you. Is there a place for me where I can just stay here in Lexington? And we said yes. And at first he was an employee, and then when my dad wanted to retire, Dwayne stepped into my dad's role and as a partner, and now Chris is a partner. But it being in that commercial world has been a great venue for me to see things in a different view too, because I tell everybody in simple terms, I'm bricks and sticks, he's steel and glass. And you know, and the two don't usually get together. We did have an opportunity recently at City Center where the Webbs and Greers hired us to do the top three floors of their all of the what they called luxury penthouses.
Oh, wow.
Every condo on those top three floors we did. And that was a great opportunity where, you know, Dwayne, with his knowledge of commercial, we took it from D.W. Wilburn. Doug did the steel structure. And then, you know, Dwayne took it metal studs to drywall. And then we stepped in as residential guys and brought in all the custom finishes that we'd always done. So having that is kind of a cool thing to do. And I didn't really know until I saw the website that I didn't really realize that there were other commercial contractors, because the commercial guys I know are not members, I don't think, but it doesn't mean they couldn't be, but I just wasn't sure.
Well, spread the word.
You'd be surprised.
People jump in all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they really do. And there's a lot of benefits to it. And we've been a member of the BIA since, you know, before I was probably alive, but like since day one, I've been doing my job, and it's just a really good thing to have behind you for one, for any kind of issues.
Yeah.
There are plenty of benefits to it, insurance wise, networking wise, resource-wise, education-wise. You know, if you want to go take some continuing education classes on different aspects of different trades or learn about new products, you've got avenues for that. It's just a good thing. So, yeah, anybody out there who's got a young business or if you have a mature business and you've just been kind of been thinking about it, give Tom or Todd or anybody mm-hmm. really at the BIA a call and just ask them, you know, how can you help my business? Because
yeah,
they will.
That's awesome. Do you all still have, they used to, again, it's been a long time, but they used to have down at the Civic Center kind of a tabletop night where people could display, vendors or builders could rent a booth and display their stuff. Do y'all, is there still anything like that? Or?
We haven't done that for quite a while. In fact, we did what was called the New Home and Remodeling Marketplace, mm-hmm. and we did that at the Kentucky Horse Park.
We did that one year. Mm-hmm.
The Alltech Center there. And I think right before COVID, we just stopped because
COVID changed the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it just did. There's no question.
Yeah, but
I enjoyed those. Yeah. The reason I asked that is I really did enjoy that. I'm a people person.
Sure.
In another life, I would do this for a living. If Collie would pay me to do this, I would do this for a living. But
in smiles, man.
Well, I love nice. That. Yeah, but I love doing those tabletop things. We would always get a booth there, and Dad and I would, you know, just meet and greet and talk to people, and it was a lot of fun. I understand COVID did. It changed everything. But we did do the one, I guess that was before COVID. We did one at the horse park, I remember, in the arena. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Those are a lot of fun. Yeah, really.
I think, well, for us, it was kind of like it was almost like a party because we knew everybody, all the salesmen. My dad, I'd cover our booth and he'd go walk around and talk to people for an hour and then we'd switch. Yeah,
right.
I remember those. And it's just kind of a way to hang out with your friends because you know everybody in the industry and they're there. And it's like, well.
And people would come. Yeah, you know,
I really do think the community liked it.
Yeah, they did. They would come and I don't know if we picked up a house, but I think we probably picked up a couple of remodels. Just people would come in and
easy.
And then, because, the next booth over would be a cabinet company that we use. And, you know, you could say, well, here's such and such. You know, we work together on these projects. And it was a good opportunity to network. It really was. So let's bring it back.
Okay. We'll take a look at it. Yeah.
Great. Collie, welcome.
Thanks, man.
How are you?
Great. All good.
Good.
Busy.
Yeah.
Listen to all you guys. Well, so much building going on in the city at the moment. Like, you guys must be just very, very happy with the membership.
We are. And in fact, you mentioned the city, but the surrounding counties too.
Counties,
yeah, both. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of houses going up.
Well, people always say, like, you can see when something's happening, when there's cranes in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was at the football game last weekend. I looked out over the back and you can see. There's 12 cranes out there. You know,
yeah, that's mostly good. UK.
Yeah, I know.
There's always a crane in UK.
Yeah. Yeah. But so that brings another question I had because I looked at the map, again, before 2014 or whenever when it changed its name, it was the Home Builder Association of Lexington. Now you all have eight counties. Is that right?
Yeah, roughly throughout Central Kentucky.
Yeah.
So all this
is Madison, Richmond?
Maybe one day.
Okay. I don't know. I know there's a piece of land there that it's the second exit that they have a sign that says the farm, a planned unit development. I'm real interested to see what it is exactly because Richmond is a college town. Tommy, Chris's younger brother went there, and it's always been an interesting satellite. We've never done anything there.
Sure.
But I drive down there, and I see that place, and I think because our planning zoning locally, I think they're great, but I think they've got to change their vision a little bit to where there is more of the live, work, play things where it's not just Hamburg where the retail's in one spot and the residential is all outside. I think you look in like Romney Road's a great example. You look at Romney Road. They're doing the new Publix there. You got Wheelers. You got a Suggins. You got a dentist. You got some stuff. And it's right in the middle of a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It's not a big retail center, but it's right in the middle of a neighborhood. And our planning zoning got away from that at some point to where you had to, you know, it was all residential, and then you had to drive to go to the grocery store. And I hope they bring some of that back. And I think this thing in Richmond's going to be that. And we'll pick back up on that in a minute. But Colin is telling me my time is up. We'll be back after the break. Warner Realty, remember this, our commissions are negotiable, but our service is not. We give you our very best every single time. 859-421-0800.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. We've got our guest, Tom Miller, on here from Building Institute, and also representing the Builders Institute of Lexington and the BIA Builders Institute Association, and Chris Warner, who's on the executive board there, came up during the break. Who can join the BIA? Tom?
Yeah, you mainly think it's just a group of home builders, but in essence, it's anybody that can service small business. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the Hearing and Speech Center is a member of the association. The representative can get in there and go to our networking events. Everybody has mm-hmm. may need some help with their hearing or their whatever. It's a great place to be, especially the construction industry.
For sure.
Yeah, too.
For sure. That's actually, I didn't think about that.
The parameters are wide for that. You don't necessarily have to swing a hammer to be a member.
I like that.
Yeah. So if you want to get out there and network and service other businesses and get new clients, there's financial mm-hmm. advisors, insurance agents, vendors and suppliers, of course, drywall people, electricians, mm-hmm. Anybody in the building industry, but you don't necessarily have to be. We have staffing mm-hmm. agencies who are members.
Interesting. Yeah. What are the benefits for those people besides networking? Is there any other benefits?
Well, I'd say networking is the number one. If you want to meet the right people, come mm-hmm. to the networking events. You'll meet them. Mm-hmm. If you're a member of the association, you have access to a very good workers' comp program that's very competitive and after a certain amount of time pays the company back dividends. So it's very attractive. Typically, when somebody gets that, mm-hmm. they don't leave it. Of the 700 member companies we have, I'd say more than half of them participate in that program. Of course, you know, when you're a member, you have a listing on our website. There's just a ton of community awareness. We promote the membership often in the community. So, mm-hmm. and also the grand tour home. Say, for a builder wants to showcase yeah. a new home, we have a scatter site home tour every year, uh-huh. And also a scatter site remodel home tour.
Yeah,
so it's great.
We participated in that a couple of times.
Yeah,
and those are a lot of fun too. A lot of work, but a lot of fun.
Well, you all have amazing yeah. houses in those.
Well, thanks.
Tours, so it's good to see.
So. Let me get on the political side for a second, and not political party division, mm-hmm. but we are members of BIA, mm-hmm. which makes us registered. Is that the right word? Registered contractors in Kentucky, but we're not licensed. Do you ever see that occurring in the state of Kentucky?
Well, for each city has its own, for better, licensing thing. Mm-hmm. So for Fayette County, you just have to apply with the city and have general liability insurance, I believe, and pay a fine. You got your contractor's license. Mm-hmm. And that's yep. different.
Established tax accounts. That kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. But it's a little bit different. Like some, we got our license. We went down and studied and took the test to get licensed in Mississippi after Katrina, thinking that we mm-hmm. could go down there and build churches and schools and help the community, only to find out that the insurance companies were, you know, they were years from allowing that to happen. The only construction that happened after Katrina was the casinos. They paid, you know, they did theirs in cash, rebuilt it immediately so they could get their cash flow back. But those things that we went down there thinking we could help with didn't happen. But there was a state licensing board that mm-hmm. we had to, you know, study, take exams, you know, and do certain things, and Kentucky's never had that, and I'm just curious why we haven't.
Kentucky doesn't have that, and to answer your question, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to become a licensed tradesperson, like HVAC, mm-hmm. plumbing, or electrical, there is a process and a test and time on the job and continue education you have to get and submit it to the state of Kentucky to maintain your licenses. But as a home builder, I mean.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm of the opinion less government involvement is better, but I just, at the same time, I've just often wondered why we're not. I mean, most states do have a state licensing requirement to be a general contractor, and like Florida, every trade has to be licensed. To be a roofer in Florida, you have to be a state licensed roofing contractor, and there's different requirements for that versus anything else. So I've just often thought it was interesting that Kentucky never went down that path.
Well, you mentioned earlier, what are the benefits of being a member? And there's also benefits to the consumer too, because when you all became a member, how long was that application you had to fill out? Homeowner references, 5 vendors and suppliers. You have to submit proof of insurances, history of work, a backstory about what you do. It's vetted. So as a consumer, okay, so Warner Builders, they're a member of the Building Industry Association. Mm-hmm. They're vetted. Mm-hmm. I feel confident compared to somebody else.
Yeah. Good.
So there you go.
Well, that's a lot. That speaks volumes right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. So, Chris, what do you ever have aspirations of being president?
You know, this is my first term, so just getting my feet wet and getting to know everybody. I haven't asked around the room, but there's sometimes 10 people in the room. Maybe the 9 others want to get there before me. Who knows? So we'll just see how it goes and see how it all progresses and all that kind of stuff.
You know, it's a real opportunity. And like I say, Johnny, I know that his involvement in HBAL or BIA moved the needle on his company a lot, and you know, and that's wonderful. I've always just kind of tried to keep my, you know, mind on building and nothing else. But as we grow, you know, I think it'd be great. You know, if you ever had that aspiration, so
yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's awesome. You know, guys like you and David Atchison and Nick Kites and all the other younger guys through the years, it's good to see on the board and in the leadership position, because other guys who are coming up in the industry see you kind of blazing that trail as a younger guy in the leadership, making a difference, making changes, being involved, growing. That's encouraging. That's inspirational. So
absolutely.
The
Building Institute too. I mean, the number one issue we're going to have in the next 10 or 15 years is there's more people aging out of construction than there are coming in. You know, my dad and I was lucky enough to grow up and know some of the contractors that are working for us today pretty much my entire life. Mm-hmm. Well, these guys are old and they're still out there working, and they're great at what they do, but they don't move very fast. They don't have a whole lot longer.
Yeah.
And in a lot of these situations, there isn't, like a me and Tommy and my brother, isn't somebody right there to take it over, build it, grow it, keep it going, or whatever. So the Institute is huge for the community and just pumping out that new talent, because that's what we're looking for and that's what the city needs. I mean, things are built. Construction's not going to slow down, and there's going to be a gap there that needs to be filled with talent, journeymen, licensed journeymen.
Yeah.
So the Institute's, I think right now, if there's anything the community can do, there's the BIA Cares. It's a great cause for sure. But check out the Institute. See if it's right for you. See if it's right for your kids. See if it's right for just anybody around you, because I think it's a great program.
You know, those licensed trades are in such demand, and the workforce demand for any of the trades is so huge. And like you said, the retirement age, a lot of these company owners, they're there. Mm-hmm. And there's not generation number 2 to pass it on to.
Yeah, for sure.
But what I'm really encouraged about with our trade school, the Building Institute, is the fact that right now I have 238 students in the school.
Wow.
They may or may not all go on to own their own company, but we're trying to repopulate the skilled trades with people who are educated, want to work, excited to be there, entrepreneurial. We teach that too.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of fun to watch those young people grow.
And yeah.
Yeah, and when they want to come to the school, I'll meet them there and give them a tour, and I'll look at them face-to-face, shake their hand, make sure they can tell me something about themselves. I want to make sure they're employable because they have to go get a job.
Right.
But all the students are kind of vetted to that extent, and it's fun to watch them go from that point to graduation to 25% of the graduates at this point are master licensed or own their own company. So
yeah.
To see that. It's
And just for really some cool. of our listeners out there, you think – you know, how does that translate? And I don't want to get too into numbers, but when we have one of our normal years, Dad, it's not unusual for me to write one electrician or one plumber or one HVAC company $500,000 in checks. So that's out there for you guys to make going through these programs. And that's in a year if you're successful and you're good.
And part of that, too, you're exactly right to qualify that just a little bit because, again, when – this is our show, right, Chris? So we can promote ourselves a little bit. You know, we too vet our subs, and we too are very loyal to them. And when people work for us and do a good job, they stay with us a long, long, long time. And our electricians, our plumbers, our HVAC is a little bit different. We may bid that out, but electricians and plumbers, we've got probably two of each, and they're our go-to people. We're going to use them every job because we know they're going to do good work. Same way with our concrete and carpentry and drywall and paint and flooring and cabinets, for that matter. I mean, you know, we're not the company that's going to take the cheapest bid to get your job. We're the company that's going to come to you with, we have a team. The team's been together a long time, and we can give you really whatever you want, whatever you can come up with. We'll figure out a way to make that happen for you because we've got a group of people that are extremely talented at what they do and can do it. Now, I always pause at that point every time we get to this show. We're human. We make mistakes. There's nobody out there who can say they've never made a mistake in this, but we try to use the same people. And today I had a difficult conversation with one of our subcontractors, Chris, who, honest mistake, but it's I've got to correct something. And the good news is they take it well. They accept the fact that, you know, a mistake was made. Let's get in here. Let's fix this thing. Let's do it, you know, now before it becomes even worse. And it's not that bad. It's just a room was slightly out of square. Nobody noticed it until the flooring went down. And when the flooring went down, suddenly you had this hardwood floor and it got to one side and it was running out of square. And so I called up Rick and said, hey, we need to look at this. I mean, he immediately said, "I'll go." What?
Well, I'm just listening.
What?
I think that like not everything's going to be square. You
know, well,
some of the best houses, some of the best architecture in the world, Sistine Chapel. That's not square. Leonardo da Vinci couldn't do it square.
That's true. When we're building you something brand new or remodeling a house,
we shoot for perfection.
Pretty darn square.
You know, we shoot for perfection.
Yeah.
We don't always hit the mark, you know, at least at this point. There's some things we could do. You know, there are. I mean, what we're going to do is the wall that's out of square, I'm going to leave it. I'm going to build a false wall in front of it because the other side doesn't show, and I'll build a false wall in front of it. And so we got to move some electric, got to add some studs, move some electric. But again, Collie, here's what we try and do. And Chris has heard me say this so many times, it becomes repetitive. I try and move the needle from good to great.
Yeah.
We don't always get there, but we're trying to move that needle from good to great. And if I see the hardwood floor is running out of square when it gets to this wall, it's perfect over there. And when it got here, it's running out a couple of 3 inches, just enough to be really noticeable. And there's a solution. let's fix it. You know, let's fix it.
I understand that. Yeah. My kind of point was more like, I suppose I'm thinking out of my own head. Our home was built in the 1870s. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not, nothing's perfectly square. And even if it was, there's always going to be a little bit of movement and stuff like that. And that's what happens as homes move and weather and things move a little bit. Right?
And my house is the same, also built in 1870. And people come in, and the first thing people always talk about is how beautiful the floor is. Well, it's like five different kinds of floor down here. You know, we just stained it all the same color. But if you look close enough, some is 5 inch, some is 6 inch, some's got, you know, knots in it, some doesn't. I mean, but people go, oh, this flooring's beautiful. And I go, well, you know, thank you. Because when I look at it, I see five or six different kinds of flooring down here. But that's just part of it. But I'm just saying, you know, my point is we work with the same people. We use the same people. That's why when you write that, you say you write a check for $500,000 to an electrician.
Well, because we're using
it's
the
because
same
we use them over and over and over. They know what we expect. They know what we want. They know the end goal, and they like working for us. So
absolutely,
it works out.
Yeah, and you know, to that point too, that kind of what I was getting at there. When these people come out of the Building Institute, I'm confident enough that I would hire them to work for us, or you know, I would recommend them to somebody.
Right.
I mean, they're ready to go. You know, it's and I've talked to many of our plumbers about that, about hiring from the academy, or do you go there to do your continuing education? Because they could, after you're out of the school, you can go back for continuing education, can't you?
Well, just so happens we're starting that up. Yeah so we're gonna do
cool. Because I thought that was on the forefront.
Plumber, it is plumbers, HVAC, and electricians have to get 6 CEUs every year. So we're going to start offering that. So once you graduate from the school, you got your license, whether it's master's or just journeyman, we're going to have classes so you can come back to. And I'm actually going to start an alumni program at the school. It's pretty cool. Not many people know about it, but I guess they will now.
Yeah.
Where you can come back and maybe take some business classes. How do I handle tax codes in all the different counties and cities? How do I hire? How do I – what's the insurance? Why do I need that? Just different things like that.
Yeah. So. What softwares are pertinent to me running my business? Yeah. Kind of, you know, those things. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about a junior program in like high school, like where you're kind of helping with apprenticeships as well, where you go around and talk to those guys and go, hey, look, you can go and you can be white collar and try and be a lawyer or whatever and put yourself into this.
Yeah.
A lot of dads going down that road, which is not a problem as well because you do it. But what about coming and looking at being a technician and working through the BIA?
Absolutely.
You're in the high schools, right?
I'm in the high schools, and really the surrounding counties I'll go. In fact, last week I was in Harrison County on Tuesday with their HVAC program there. And Harrison County has HVAC. It's awesome. Got a great instructor, great principal of that technical center. Wednesday I was in Fleming County High School at the career fair, and Thursday I was at the Great Crossing. However, the idea of having a pre-apprenticeship program, which they can take from freshman to senior year, they get a wide swath of everything from carpentry to putting a toilet down to running wire to doing drywall, and having it count for high school credit to graduate.
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
Mm-hmm.
Other states have that
program.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Other states have that program. In fact, Colorado has a great one. So that's not to say that we won't have one here soon.
Yeah. That is cool. And it, you know, again, just talking about us for a second, and my dad, who, you know, my dad was an only child. I'm an only child. The roles got so confused over the years, Collie, of, you know, are we talking father-son? Are we talking employer-employee? Are we talking friend, you know, friend-to-friend? Where are we talking here? But my dad, before there was such thing as the Building Institute, from the time I was, well, I can tell you, I was 14 years old, the summer between whatever year I was, when I was 14 years old, I worked at Conton Lumber Company.
Nice.
You know, Dad, I worked there. I had a time card. Jack Conton made me check, you know, time in, time out. Back, and this would have been probably, 1969. The rail cars came in behind Conton Lumber Company, and we unloaded the lumber off the rail cars. It was August. It was hot. And my job was to get inside the rail car and get the lumber out. You know, but and then the next year I worked as a bricklayer. And the next year I worked for a glass company. And the next year, you know, I worked. So before there was such thing as the Building Institute, my dad was teaching me the trades to where at least I had a general knowledge of all of them as we went through. So
excellent.
Yeah.
It's the Warner Institute.
Yeah, the Warner Institute. So listen, we're about to run out of time. Sure. Is there anything you'd like to just overall tell everybody out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. Thanks for this is awesome, and I love the concept. The Building Institute's an awesome, awesome program. If you're thinking about getting a job in the skilled trades, or actually, let me preface that, career in the skilled trades. It's an awesome program. It's inexpensive compared to other things out there. And it's in such high demand, and we need you in there. So feel free to look us up, buildinginstituteky.com. Schedule a tour. I'm happy to meet you there. We'll walk around, check out the labs, the classrooms, and have a discussion about what that will look like.
Speaking of, where are you located?
Yeah, we're in Lexington. We're right off Newtown Pike. We're currently at 650 Kennedy Road, kind of across from Lexmark.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhat centrally located for people coming in downtown.
Yeah. And it is, can people just come visit?
Schedule a time with me. I have two offices. I'm not always there, but I'll be there when you need to be, need me to be there.
What gives your phone number?
859-788-3818.
788-3818. Okay, listen. Hey.
We're all writing it down.
Well, write it down. Yeah, write it down. That brings us to the end of the show, Colin. As I always like to tell people, you know, Warner Realty, our commissions are negotiable, our service is not. Warner Builders, Chris and I mean, I could sit here and talk for hours. I love this show. I love doing this. But I got work to do. I got to get back to work, Colin. So we're going to wrap this thing up. Thank you for letting us be part of the Hound Network. Thank you, Tom, for being on the show. And we always wrap it up with a howl for the Hound. Is it that time?
It's that time.
All right. Well, we're signing off. Cool. Well, that's all right. Hey, Mike Warner, Warner Builders, my son, Chris Warner. We're so excited that this is the Breeders' Cup weekend coming up. So get your picks. We hope you win. If you're in the horse business, we love to work with you on your horse farms. We do equine housing offices and barns. So if you're looking to build a barn in Lexington or surrounding counties or even Louisville, we travel. Give me a call, Mike Warner, 859-421-0800. Appreciate your time with the horse industry that means so much to Kentucky. We could not do this show without you all. Thank you very much.
Listen to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon presented by The Hound, 96.1 FM. Saturday mornings from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., followed by the Horse Racing Radio Network from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.